Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Moneyweb.
Now, I'm sure you'll agree with me, it's becoming increasingly important to examine the trade-offs between the convenience of everyday apps and maybe the potential compromises to our personal privacy. Many popular apps, from social media to health trackers, offer significant benefits, but often collect extensive personal data that leads to concerns, obviously, about user privacy and security. And tonight I'm joined by Brandon Muller, technical expert for the Middle East and Africa region at Kaspersky, to delve into these hidden costs and maybe tell us how users can better protect our personal information. Brandon, it's good to talk to you again. Maybe just elaborate for me on the types of personal data that everyday apps are collecting from users. Many of us, I would imagine, live in blissful ignorance.
Good evening, Jeremy, and hello to everybody that's listening to us this evening. So first thing, you know, obviously, we have a lot of different apps that we are making use of at the current moment. I mean, digitization took place, and with that, obviously, there's a lot of different apps for almost pretty much everything, you know, from food delivery all the way through to your shopping and so on. Now, when we start talking about the different kinds of metrics that's being collected, it purely depends on the kind of app that you're using. So, for example, if you're talking about social networks, it's going to start collecting information about your shopping habits, your likes, your dislikes. It's going to start discovering information about your locations, your hobbies, all of these different kinds of things. Now, of course, there are quite a few different other varying apps that we can make use of, such as, you know, health apps. And, of course, in South Africa, we have quite a few. So it's going to start tracking metrics surrounding your physical activity, your activity-ness, or I don't know what's the right word to use, but the activeness that you have and these kinds of things.
How would these apps then use the data that they're collecting from us, and what are the potential risks associated with that?
That's a very good question. So obviously, if you look at first point, you know, how are they going to use this information? In general, when we start talking about specifically, you know, things that can gather some metrics about the individual, it is going to be primarily targeted marketing. So when we start talking about, for example, I have certain likes or dislikes on my Facebook or on my Instagram or on my X account or whatever the case may be, you know, these kinds of things are going to then start popping up, you know, your likes, of course, if you are tweeting or, I don't know, Xing about a certain topic, you are going to definitely see a lot more of that kind of content. When we start talking about health tracking apps and these kinds of things, it's going to start targeting you specifically to not necessarily a particular product, but perhaps a specific service. So, yep, it's obviously location-based and so on.
And it's become a lot more precise, I would imagine, and targeted, given the rise of AI-driven data tracking and predictive analytics.
No, most definitely. I mean, when we start talking about the AI concept, you know, AI by itself obviously has quite a lot of benefits to the everyday person, right? However, it can also be quite detrimental from an attacking perspective when we start talking about utilizing this information in a more offensive way. So when you start talking about a third party that's trying to target you as an individual, your company, or a group of individuals, now it has copious amounts of information or insights. Well, not directly, of course, it's obviously studying information, but it can then quite literally target you as an individual by working on the strings that is perfectly defined by you.
So critical then that we take steps to audit and manage our app permissions. Often people don't do that. But if we want to safeguard our personal information effectively, we've got to enact that as quickly as we can, I would imagine.
No, most definitely. You know, there's quite a few different things that you can do as a regular person, right? You don't have to be a tech boffin or anything like that to be able to do it. The first thing, like you rightfully so mentioned, is auditing of app permissions. Now, of course, there are going to be a widespread difference between Android and iOS and so on. But, you know, the core principle is we do not want to give unnecessary permissions to certain apps that don't need it. Now, what I'm talking about is audio, you know, the microphone, for example, the speakers, access to your location data, and so on, that's not necessary for that particular app. So, you know, for example, for me, obviously a weather app, the only thing that it needs is perhaps my location data. It doesn't need access to my microphone and my speaker and these kinds of things. You know, so of course, app permissions is a crucial part in at least restricting or limiting the capability from the other side.
And as you're talking to me about that, I'm also reviewing and adjusting my app settings, because this changes all the time. And I guess if you do that more regularly, you will have better privacy management.
No, most definitely. I mean, another thing that a lot of people actually overlook is, for example, asking an app not to track. So there's a particular feature that you can enable that says do not track. So for myself, I'm an Apple user at the moment. And in this case, you know, every single time that I install a particular application, it would ask me to track. And I would specifically say do not track, because this gives it permission to an extent, of course, to certain data and details about myself as an individual user of this particular device. Now, there's a few different other things that we can also go ahead and have a look at. Just from a security standpoint, of course, when we start talking about privacy, when we start talking about public Wi-Fi networks, when we start talking about just a general security solution that's being implemented. Now, it doesn't have to be all of this fancy different kinds of solutions managed by a corporation, but as an individual, most definitely having the capability to add few different layers of security onto that is quite crucial.
And Brandon, just one final question. Talk to me about the potential dangers of using public Wi-Fi networks when it comes to app data security.
Most definitely, yes. So public Wi-Fi networks in general, you know, as however convenient may be, I mean, we all know the data prices that we're facing in South Africa. And it's not just in South Africa, by the way. It's a kind of a global trend. However, public Wi-Fi networks in general gives users, firstly, it gives users the capability to access the internet, access the web, communicate with their family, and so on and so forth from wherever they are in the world, right? Without the need of roaming and so on. Now, that's the pros, I would say. The cons to this is you do not know what network you are connecting to. You don't know the monitoring that's being applied. You do not know if you are actually connecting to a legitimate Wi-Fi network. A good example would be if you go to a coffee shop, I won't name any names, of course, but if you go to your favorite coffee shop and you see this coffee shop's name, public Wi-Fi, free, whatever the case is, you connect to this network. What stops any individual that's also sitting in this exact same spot as you, as using their laptop, for example, to broadcast a Wi-Fi network that duplicates the same one as that? You connecting to this individual's Wi-Fi network using their laptop, and then potentially you're accessing your banking website, your social networks, your emails, whatever the case is. And what they can actually do, and this is not a futuristic kind of thing that you would see on Star Trek or whatever the case is, This is what's possible. They can monitor every single movement that you make on the web itself, and they can use that data to effectively get back access into the accounts that you may have. So public networks in general, it's risky, but there are security measures that you can apply to it. For example, you can use a VPN or a virtual private network. They can come from free all the way through to a paid version that effectively is like creating a tunnel, right? A tunnel that you cannot see through, which means that the data that is being transferred is completely safe.
Well, Brandon, you have warned me off coffee shops for the time being. That is very valuable advice this evening. Brandon Miller, technical expert for the Middle East and Africa region at Kaspersky. Thank you very much for talking to me tonight.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.